We've been on a journey of mind renewal, and we're beginning to really understand, I believe, we're beginning to understand that not only is it possible for us to actually renew our minds, but it's reasonable of God to expect us to renew our minds. And that perhaps we have not spent the time nor the energy necessary to this point to really renew our minds. And perhaps we have been slack in our faithfulness as it relates to our efforts to renew our minds. This morning, I want to talk about transforming my mind, part two. And the subtopic I want to talk about is believing in what you can't see. Believing in what you're not able to see. The scripture that was read into our hearing from John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now Jesus said, I am come. I'm going to give you the purpose of my coming. I've come that they might have life. And I've come that they might have life in abundance. So I want to ask this morning, do you believe that Jesus came to give you eternal life? Do you believe Jesus came to give you eternal life? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus came to give you eternal life? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus came to give you a better life now? Yes or no?
Yes.
You believe that Jesus came to give you a better life now?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Okay.
Now, today.
Okay.
Do you believe that?
Okay.
Then why aren't you experiencing a better life? Then why, if you believe that Jesus came, is it that Jesus is not capable of doing what he said? Are his promises empty? Then why are we not experiencing the better life? Better life. If we believe it should be better now, why isn't it better now? Why are we feeling so defeated now? And we're in Christ. Why are we feeling like we have no hope now? That we've done all that we can do and it is hopeless now. And we're in Christ. We got to define something then. What is the better life? You got to define that. I mean, you got to really understand what is the life that's supposed to be better. Well, I believe the better life entails the ability to live in peace no matter what's happening in your life. though the storms keep on raging in my life, there's a peace that I have. And it's not based on external circumstances. Then the better life means that the child of God ought to know how to live through crises. The child of God ought not fall apart because stuff is going on. Not if Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Then the child of God should be able to connect to a source that will guarantee stability in the midst of all crises. Better life. Better life. Better life. So the ability to live in peace no matter what's happening in your life, I believe, is part of that better life. The ability to maintain joy no matter what's happening in your life is part of the better life. The ability to still have a joy in your heart and not be negative all the time, and everything that comes out of your mouth is a complaint, and you are a child of God. You are not experiencing the better life. You don't know about the better life. You have not tasted yet the better life. So the ability to maintain joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give this to me, so the world can't touch it. Better life. The ability to create a new experience in your life when there is no evidence of the new experience on the horizon. Now I didn't hit you. Better life. The ability that the child of God has to create from nothing a better experience than you are currently experiencing when you don't have any evidence of a new experience ever showing up. But you're looking for it. That's better life. That's better life. Now, because I say in this description of better life, the ability to create, some of your antennas went up with a question mark about the spirituality of creating something. So you're wondering, well, does the Bible teach that? Brother White philosophizing right now, because I ain't read that in scripture. So how in the world am I supposed to be able to create something? God is only the one that can create something out of nothing. Therefore, you telling me that I'm God? No, not that God. You're not that God. But the God that we serve has given us the ability to create a new life. Wait a minute. If that's not so, why in the world would he say Therefore, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? If you renew it, who did it? And what are you doing? You are creating in you a new way of thinking. Okay. But I need to bring it a little closer to home. I need to bring it a little closer to home. So, in Romans chapter 4, God's word is laid out. And we're going to look at what God's word said about a faithful servant, Abraham. And in verse number 16, the Bible says, so God's blessings are given to us by faith. God's blessings are distributed through the medium of faith. God blesses us to the portion we are able to apply our faith. There is no blessings overflowing to the person that is lacking in faith.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Not that God doesn't want to bless. Not that God is short on blessings. But God has tied blessings too. So God's blessings are given to us by the medium of faith. And it's free. And it's free. We are certain to get them whether or not we follow Jewish customs if we have faith like Abraham's. In other words, it's not how well you can execute all of God's laws, but how much do you trust in the power ability of God to direct your life even by creating a new life for you. Faith. For Abraham, scripture says, is the father of us all when it comes to these matters of faith. You want to talk about faith? And about a man of God having faith, you need to go visit Abraham. Look up Abraham. Faith, Abraham's picture is right there, you know, in the dictionary of faith. You know, that is the best example of Christian faith. Verse 17, that is what the scriptures mean when they say that God made Abraham the father of many nations. Now listen. God will accept all people in every nation who trust God as Abraham. Wait a minute. Wait, don't miss this. God will accept all folk of every nation when they demonstrate a faith like Abraham. And this promise is from God himself. Now watch this. This God who makes the dead live again. This God who speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already here. Now, for those of you who don't really know the story, just give a footnote. God called Abram out of the land of Ur, and God told him that you need to go to a land I'm going to show you. You leave your people and go, and I'm going to make you a great nation. At that time, Abraham had no children. He and his wife had no children. And so God made the promise that he was going to do this for Abraham, going to make a great nation out of them. Abraham leaves and goes, and God blesses him, and years go by, and Abraham has not conceived with Sarah any children. Abraham is now 90, and he still hadn't conceived any children. So Sarah is now 80, and she still hadn't conceived any children. So God called a promise to him. And so Sarah got in her mind that, well, maybe God just meant you were going to have it and not we were going to have it. So Sarah decided that she would give her handmaid, Hagar, to Abraham. And he said, honey, now you have my permission to go in and be with her, because I believe that's going to bring the child, and we'll raise the child, you know, and do that. But that wasn't the promise that God made. The promise was with Abraham. Everybody with me? Now listen. Listen. So, verse 18. So when God told Abraham that he would give him a son who would have many descendants and become a great nation, this is the promise. And they went through all of that, and Abraham finally understood, you know what? We stepped out of a line. God is going to do this. So Abraham believed God, even though such a promise just could not come to pass. Abraham now has put total faith in an occurrence that just can't happen. There is no way it ought to happen. No way it should happen. It is physically impossible for it to happen. Yet, with all of that on his mind, Abraham still put total faith in it happening. And I don't know how he gonna do this. That's his business. I just know he's going to do it. So I'm holding on to faith, okay? And because his faith was that strong that God's going to give me and my wife a child. I don't know how he's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it. One of these days, God's going to let us come together. I don't know how he's going to do it. All I know is he's going to do it. And I'm expecting him to do it, though it looks like it's impossible for it to be done. Everybody with me? So because his faith was strong, he didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100. He didn't let the fact that I'm 100 now, God can't do that no more. It was a nice idea. He meant well. But I'm just too old. Or that Sarah, his wife at 90, was also too old to have a baby. Not only am I through, she through too. So in spite of what obviously looks like an impossible circumstance or situation, Abraham kept on expecting an unexpected event to take place in his life because God said it. Everybody with me? Do you understand what I've said so far? Are you comprehending what I've said so far? What have I said so far? What have I said so far? All right, listen, listen. Talk to your neighbor and tell them what I just said. Explain what I just said. Explain it. What did I just say? Talk to each other and explain it. Make sure you got it. Explain it now. Did everybody explain it? Everybody explained it? Everybody got this? Okay. So, don't forget that Abraham believed, though it didn't look like it was something that you could believe could happen, right? Let's go on. But Abraham never doubted. But Abraham, 100 years old, wife 90, ain't nothing happening. We love each other, but ain't nothing happening. We love each other, but ain't nothing happening. Okay. But Abraham never doubted that one of these days something gonna happen. Are y'all with me? And Abraham never doubted that something gonna happen. But ain't nothing happening. He believed God, watch this, for his faith and trust grew ever stronger. Wait a minute. Ain't nothing happening, ain't nothing been happening, and you still holding on to the thought of faith and conviction that something go happen. But ain't nothing happen. And as time keep going on, his faith got stronger. Baby, you know one of these days you're gonna get pregnant. God gonna move in us one of these days, and something gonna happen. I promise you, God, I know he's able. God gonna do something special through us. Watch what I tell you. And every night they go to bed, God gonna do something special. One of these nights, something gonna happen here. And he got more convicted and convinced that something was going to happen in his life when it looked like it's impossible for something to happen. That is faith. Everybody with me? Now watch this. Watch this. And he praised God for the blessing before the blessing came. And so Abraham not only was expecting it, but he was thinking, God, thank you for giving Sarah and I a baby. Lord, thank you for enabling Sarah and I to have a child. Lord, thank you for bringing into existence the promise through us. Lord, I thank you for being the God that's able to move on us at this stage of our life. And I want to thank you for selecting us like now to do what you're doing. Lord, I want to just thank you for bringing to pass something that hadn't even come to pass. He praised God. He praised God. See, some of you don't understand about faith. Some of you don't understand about what God can do. And you don't have the faith to dare to thank God for some you don't see coming. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything he promised. Now watch this. And because of Abraham's faith, because Abraham had such faith, not because Abraham lived so right, but because Abraham's faith, God forgave him his sins and declared him, you ain't guilty of no sin. Anybody that can hold a promise of mine when it don't look like it can ever come to pass, and you put that much confidence in me that you're going to thank me over and over again for something that's not there, your sins are wiped out. You're forgiven. Don't you worry about nothing. I got you covered. Now, you are not experiencing the abundant life right now because you don't believe or expect your life to be any different or better than it is right now. You ain't expecting God to do nothing special in your life. As a matter of fact, when you get up tomorrow, you're expecting the same thing to happen that happened yesterday. You don't expect God to do anything special in your life. You are not looking for God to move in your life in any special way. And since you're not expecting it, ain't nothing changing in your life at all. So you are not tapping into the power of abundance because you don't believe anything can change. Life been this way this long. Shoot. Ain't nothing. Well, I ain't getting my hopes up on nothing. It's just going to be more of the same. So you don't expect God to move in your life in a special way at all. And guess what? He doesn't. And guess why? You ain't got no faith. You don't believe. You're not experiencing abundant life because the more you look at your current circumstances, the more you're convinced that nothing will ever change. Ain't nothing gonna ever change. Ain't nothing gonna ever change in my marriage. And so since ain't nothing gonna change, I have no hope of anything ever being any more than it is right now. So ain't no need of me expecting nothing. Might as well just pack up and move, cause I don't see it. There is no way that God can come into the middle of where we are and make any difference in my life. So I'm out of here. No faith. You keep looking at your circumstance. Ain't no way I can love that person who treated me like that. There is no way I'm going to ever be able to forgive them because they did me like that. There is no way for me to ever not trust them or be able to trust them again because of what they've done. You mean to tell me that the circumstances you've been in are so great that God can't give you the ability to overcome each and every thing that you have put up. You put this barrier up as being impenetrable. You put the barrier up as not being possible to overcome. You said in your heart, there is no way for this to be better. And you took God totally out. Did you understand what I just said? Explain that to each other. Explain that. Tell somebody what I just said. Explain that. Explain that. Explain it to each other. Some of y'all just looking at me. Did you explain it okay? Do you kind of get it? Everybody kind of get it? Okay. So you're not experiencing the abundant life because you don't believe or expect your life to be any different than it is right now. And you are not experiencing the abundant life because the more you look at stuff, the more you are convinced that it ain't going to be none but more of the same. Some of you, brothers, don't believe our leadership can be any better than it is right now because all you think is that the leadership gonna keep being what it is, and you convinced. I'm trying to help somebody. You have already decided that that's the best we got. So you ain't expecting God to do nothing. Because according to your survey says, this ain't going to change. Survey says, this is it. You're not experiencing the abundant life because you can't possibly thank God for something that has no evidence of occurring in your life right now. Ain't no way you gonna fall on your knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for the brotherhood together, and you have no evidence. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me to overcome my hatred, and they ain't said they sorry. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me in my heart in my marriage. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the courage to stay the course because I know you can make the difference. See, you're not experiencing abundance because you can't be grateful for something you can't see. And what is faith? Something that you can't see. If you can't thank God for something you can't see, then you don't have any faith because we're supposed to be walking by this stuff. How in the world are you walking in faith and you can't thank God for something you can't see? So you only give thanks for everything you got. You got your eyes on and your hands on. I see it. Okay. That changed. Okay, Lord, I thank you for bringing about the change. Thank you. No. Abundant living means that you're able to thank God when you ain't got no evidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the what? Evidence of things what? Is that the Bible? Is that the Bible? Then you're not having any abundant experience of living because you haven't learned how to live by faith yet. And you certainly haven't practiced what Abraham did, thanking God when there is no evidence of anything happening like that. I mean, is that not a waste of time to be thanking God for something that you can't see? What is faith? See, we missed it. We missed it. Totally. But God came in. No, Al said, how can I mend my broken heart? But God can't fix it. You're not, come on back. You are not experiencing the abundant life, and because you have no faith in things that are unseen manifesting themselves in your life, you find yourself constantly questioning whether or not you've been forgiven of your sins apart from you being able to live a perfect life. God forgave Abraham because he had what? A faith that says, I'm thanking you for something I ain't never seen. God said, that kind of faith, your sins are forgiven. We don't have that kind of faith, so we put confidence in how well can we execute the will of God. And to the effect that we can execute it so we find ourselves trying to live a perfect life, but God don't forgive sins on perfected living. He forgives sins based on what?
Faith.
Based on faith. Based on faith. And since you ain't got none, because you ain't expecting anything in the unseen that you can't see to happen, then that's why you have all the doubts in your mind about whether or not you really are saved. And you in the ebb and flow. I'm a child of God, but you know I'm stumbling over. I don't know if I'm going to be saved or not. And you know why? Because you have not put total confidence in yet. Did you all understand that? Did you get that? Y'all tell somebody what I just said. Explain that. Y'all explain that to each other. Explain that. Y'all, you explain it? Y'all get this? Can you explain this? Everybody got it? So, our abundant life is possible, but it requires us to demonstrate a faith in God like our father Abraham. And as we trust him like that. See, let me tell you something. You can't expect him to move when you have no evidence and put your whole life on it unless you really know him. You really know him. Wait a minute. And when you know him like that, your relationship with him is so much so, you ain't got to think about how you're living. You know him. And you expecting him. Is there any more you need to say about how you live now? Because you know him and you expected him to move in your life in unseen ways. Do you not think you going to just live crazy now? Not when you know him like that and you have confidence in him like that. It governs your whole sphere of living. Because you living with expectancy. You're looking for something to happen that you have no evidence of. Am I helping anybody? And you stop trusting, dotting all your I's for your salvation. That's not necessary when you have a faith in him like that. You don't even have to be concerned about that little stuff because you got an expectation and you're thanking him for it. Thank you for the strength that you're giving me to forgive my enemy. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that you're giving me to overcome the issues of my life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing peace on my job when I'm in the midst of crisis. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me a job that'll pay me the kind of money I need to take care of my family. And you ain't even been interviewed yet. You ain't even been interviewed yet. But you looking for it. Why? Why would you look for it like that? Because you know him. You know him. Everybody with me? And so don't be conformed then to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to prove it in your experience with him. You prove it when you trust him so much so that you trust him for stuff that don't even make sense. But you looking for it because you know he's able. He's able. He's able. And finally, brethren, don't you know that whatsoever things are true and honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, whatsoever things bring about a good report, if there's anything virtuous about it, anything that's praiseworthy to you for, let me focus on that. Think on these. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Did Jesus make the promise to make life better later? Make life better now and give you the ability to create a life that you haven't even seen. Did he? Did he?
Yes.
Then why? Are we settling? Why are we faltering? Why are we doubting? Because we're looking at life, looking at circumstances, and we're not looking to Him. Everybody got that? This is all I got for today, but I wanted you to get this concept. And if you are here and you are part of God's family and you feel like life has just passed you by, I want to suggest to you that it ain't over yet. And I want to suggest to you that you need to reevaluate how you look at the God that you say you serve. And whether or not you have the courage to put confidence in Him, to move in your circumstance, though you have no evidence of it on the horizon right now, and have the audacity to thank Him for something that you have no way of seeing how it's going to happen. And you don't even worry about how it happens, because that's God's business. All you know is that He can make it happen. He can make it happen. Now, if you've been living like you've been conquered, instead of you're victorious, if you've been living like you're barely hanging on, well, because you can't see how, well, you need to come, amen, and learn how to put all of your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Amen. He really cares for you. And when you learn to thank Him for what He ain't done yet, when you learn to have gratitude for what ain't happened yet, but you act like it happened because you're thanking Him for it, God sees that faith. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, you missed me. You missed that. God sees that faith and says, oh, your sins. Your sins. Forgiven. Because you trust me like that? Oh, yeah. I got you. I got you. I got you. Everybody with me? So this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, if you've been going at it all wrong, if you've been walking by everything you can see and nothing you cannot, I want you to know that you are outside of the realm of faith. You're not like our father Abraham. You need to repent and learn how to connect your belief in God, taking it to the level that you're looking for something that don't make sense. And you're thanking Him for it. Ooh, I got so many implications on this, I got to stop before I preach some more. So if you're here and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we invite you to become a part of God's spiritual family. The family of God has been given the greatest promises. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. And these are blessings you have access to. And if you're not in the body, you don't have access to this. And I want you to know that you can leave here today a part of God's spiritual family if you're willing to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to Scripture. That he was buried and rose again the third day. If you're willing to repent of your sins and make a public acknowledgement that you believe that Jesus is the Christ and he is God's Son. And be willing to go down a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. God made a promise that he'll wash your sins away, give you his Holy Spirit,